Hi, welcome to Colonial Williamsburg, past and present on history.org. This is Behind the Scenes, where you will meet the people who work here. That's my job. I'm Lloyd Dobbins, and mostly I ask questions. This time, I'm asking Barbara Shearer, who is a journeyman tradesman in foodways at Colonial Williamsburg. And the first question has got to be, what is a journeyman tradesman in foodways?
Well, in food, in the industry in the 17th and 1800, and even actually today, you have to go through an apprenticeship. Now, in this time period, you worked for 7 years under somebody, a bit like a commis chef would be today. Mm-hmm. And you literally learn all the French cuisines and all the English cuisines. And you, in Colonial Williamsburg, we do a like a final presentation of a colonial dinner with my dinner this year just passed was 22 dishes. And we had 10 Colonial Williamsburg employees sat down in the Governor's Palace classroom and they dined 18th century style. And dining 18th century style is something completely, completely different to dining today.
Well, if it has 22 dishes, absolutely right.
Yes, but no, but not only that. We're today, we sit around the table and we've done all the time, we've made this wonderful food, we've placed it all on the table, and then after grace, the first thing we do is we start handing out the food. You have this, you have this. And your presentation displays have all gone to pot. Well, in this time period, what we're doing is simple as this. Your food stays still and your empty plates travel around the table. And this is how the art of conversation starts about, where you might be good at one thing, like cutting up a chicken or something like that, but unfortunately that chicken or turkey or piece of beef is not in front of you. You've got something else in front of you. So you've got to know the skills of how to carve things, how to serve things correctly, because otherwise people will actually write about you in their diaries in this time period and tell you what a gross man you were because you don't know how to dine properly. And dining is a social grace. You're going to be at the dining room table for 2 hours. You're having polite conversations. You're passing your plates round. You're filling each other's plates. Now, if you don't listen properly and you put food on somebody's plate that they don't really want, once it gets back to them, they are meant to eat the plate clean.
Oh.
But, basically there'll be, let's see, you're going to start off with a soup. If I explain what I did for my dinner, then maybe it might show you the kinds of things that you could have. We started off with a watercress soup, which is actually a spicy soup. Then we had, for the first course, we had some Virginia ham. Every household is going to give you Virginia ham in this time period. We also had a roasted leg of lamb with some mint sauce. Also on this course was a fricassee, a brown fricassee of chicken, apple pie, pound cake, spinach on toast, and also, what was my other thing? Also we had on the...
I'm still trying to pick up spinach on toast after apple pie.
Well, you see, apple, you're thinking, now you see, you're thinking of apple pie. Oh, it's got to be a dessert.
Yeah.
But it's heavy. Only light and delicate and wonderful things are desserts.
Where is that written? I like heavy things.
Well, no, you don't, because, all right then, let's think of Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. What do? You all eat your dinner. And then Mum comes out and goes, let's do our pumpkin. You call it pie, but in this time period, we would call it pudding because it hasn't got a top on it. Let's put our pumpkin pie on the table. And then everybody goes, oh, God, no, can't eat it. Full. 3 hours later, yeah, let's have some. Where in this time period, no, your sweet, heavy things are with your meats. Where do we get our cranberries for our turkey? our pork, our apple for our pork. These are all because of this thing, because we have sweets with our savoury things. Nothing heavy, delicate. And also, getting back to the dinner, where you've got a potato dish with this, a roasted potato and a roasted parsnip dish. And that was just the first course. Then your second course is going to be some curried rabbit with rice. You also had oyster ice cream, ceviche fish, and some beefsteaks with fried onions. Now, a salad was put on this course because it's only available in the autumn and in the spring. We think of salad all year round, not in this time period, too hot. And also, you've also got to think of some more vegetables. So we had forced mushrooms with this. We had Chelsea buns on this course. And you might think of Chelsea buns today as being the forerunner of the cinnamon roll. Mm. That's exactly what it is. And we had a sago pudding on this dish, on this course. Mm. So there's your two courses. When they had to literally taste everything from the oyster ice cream right the way through. And then desserts. We had candied orange and lemon rinds, sugared almonds, a marzipan hedgehog, marzipan fruits. We also did a syllabub and some jams and marmalades, and they had to literally eat everything.
How long does it take you to do this? I mean,
the apprenticeship or the day?
The dinner.
The day we were work. Well, we see. I've been working on my dinner for really hard for about a month, getting things done. The ceviche fish had to be done 2 weeks. The oyster ice cream was done a week beforehand. Are you surprised to hear of oyster ice cream? Because I can tell by the look on your face.
Well, I was trying to piece it out. I like oysters.
Okay.
I am from this area originally, so I grew up with it. But I do believe you're the first person I've ever heard say oyster ice cream out loud.
Well, you see, the only reason why I asked that question is because when we mention oyster ice cream in the governor's kitchen, because that's where we can document having ice cream, people always go, oh, my God, it's not chocolate, it's not strawberry, it's not vanilla. No, it's not. But yet we can have all them, but we can have tea. We can have the oyster ice cream. You name it, we can do it in ice cream. Think of ice cream in this time period as being a frozen custard.
Okay.
And also think of the oyster ice cream. Richard Schumann, who plays Patrick Henry, he thought it was the best thing he'd ever tasted in his life. He really did. And it's supposed to be George Washington's favourite ice cream.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's think of it as being a frozen chowder is the best way I can describe it. Frozen chowder. Because it's very rich and flavorful. But you make your chowder, you strain it, and then you just use the liquid. So you're not having any bits of oysters in your mouth. You're just getting that intense flavor of the ice. And you use the ice cream makers and you make your ice cream.
Can visitors watch you doing this?
Oh, yes.
Oh, can? Oh.
We have, when we made the oyster ice cream for this dinner, my junior interpreters made it, which are young girls that have worked in this program for 3 years with me. And they actually made the ice cream for my apprenticeship dinner. And part of the apprenticeship is also passing on your skills and organisation. It's not only cooking the food, but it's getting it onto the table on time. It's getting it organised so that everything is done, so that on the day it's a lot good and easy for you to do. And
What do people mostly want to know from you?
Well, in the summer, they seem to want to know, you know, why are we cooking when it's hot, because we're all sweating like pigs. We just say, well, everybody has to eat. There's no other way about it. Oh, I don't know whether I could work in this heat. And then that's when we explain why the kitchen is not in the house. It's not because of fire, like most people seem to think, oh, kitchen's not in your house because of fire. But if you look in the north of the country, they have two kitchens. They have one in their house in the winter and one in the outside in the summer. Now, if that was the case, kitchens were not in your house in the summer because of fire, then why is your kitchen in your house in the winter? Because it's not because of fire. It's literally in the winter, it's there to give you the heat for the north. But we're in the south here. We have no problem with real cold weather here. So it's you can take your food over there. You're taking it over in pans and on plates. And then you're putting it onto hot, warm china plates in the warming room. Because china would never leave the house. It would stay in the house. But people are always surprised to see that we're cooking in the summer. It's so hot in here. They're just, you know. And, of course, they say, well, about the heat, are you hot? And there's no other answer but yes. You know, I mean, but I then explain to them that when we get a piece of meat or say we've got a bird, we've took off its feathers and then we've got its skin to the fire. Basically, what are they doing? They're walking around in T-shirts. They're showing their skin to the sun, which is cooking their skin. So I actually say to them, you're probably hotter than what I am because you're actually cooking your skin right now. If you look at the hot countries, they wear the long sleeves, the long gowns all the way down to the ground. It's just to keep you cooler. It's to keep the heat off your skin.
I'll make you a bet they don't want to hear that.
They don't. You're absolutely correct.
No. I was told and want to ask just to be sure. Do you do any butchering?
Yes, indeed. We butcher. The second Saturday in December is always our hogs to ham day. And we get eight 18th century pigs. We purchase them from Mount Vernon. And we butcher them down. And it's a wonderful day. We have lots of fun. Lots of families come out, especially when we're taking the heads off the pigs. Mm-hmm. All the children want to have their pictures taken with the heads of the animals.
Why does that not surprise me? That's child's reaction.
Yes, indeed.
Me and the pig.
Yes, right. And we're also in the on the 29th of November, we will be butchering down four sheep at the Governor's Palace. Mm-hmm. And we'll be doing that in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And
Is that the way it was done? You would think that butchering would be done outside.
No, butchering would be... We would actually, in this time period, purchase our meat from a butcher because we're a city.
2,000 people and you're a city? How?
Oh, yes, sir. We are
all right.
A city.
So you got your meat from the butcher. Okay, now it's, you mentioned December, holiday time. Was Christmas a big eating holiday, dining holiday?
Well, it depends on who you're looking at. How much money do you have?
Ah, okay.
How much money do you have?
So the answer is the same as today.
Put it this way. The wealthy, do they not eat well today? That's like this time period. The wealthy always eat well and the poor will struggle by. In this time period, you've got to think of not turkey. In this time period, the number one meat eaten is beef. Then you've got lamb and pork. And your smaller animals are coming on next. But basically, think of roasted piece of beef. You can also think of a Virginia ham, a turkey, maybe some pork, some fresh pork. Mm-hmm. Mutton. Do you know what mutton is?
Yes.
You do. Okay. What is mutton?
Mutton is sheep meat.
Yes, I know. But how do you know the difference between lamb and mutton?
The only thing when I've eaten it, it's fattier.
Yes. Do you know why it's fattier?
No.
Because it's old. You can't call a sheep lamb once it's had its first birthday. That's how you can differ between mutton and lamb.
That's Colonial Williamsburg, past and present. Check history.org often. We'll post more for you to download and hear.